Welcome to Talk World Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. This week on Talk World Radio, we are talking about efforts in Canada in a labor union to divest from the Israeli war machine as part of anti-war efforts in Canada and around the world. We're looking at an interesting campaign with our guest, Dave Selassie, who has worked as director of the Office of Social Justice in Victoria, British Columbia, high school teacher and president of the Toronto Secondary Unit of his union. He served three terms as Ward 3 counselor in Georgina. Retired, he still is engaged with union work and acts as a professional parliamentarian for union locals and the Chamber of Commerce. Along with political involvement, Dave serves as executive of a retired teachers organization and Catholics for Justice and Peace in the Holy Land. Most recently, he has been host of a biweekly public affairs show on Rogers TV, Politically Speaking, Insights and Issues. Dave Selassie, welcome to Talk World Radio.
Well, thank you very much for welcoming me, and very good to meet you, David.
So,
I will correct a little bit. I'm sure we're going to get into this, but it's not a union action per se. It's the pension plan from a number of teachers' unions that's pooled together and invested on behalf of all the members of that plan. So, but you're going to ask more detail about that.
Well, why don't you start with some? What are those unions?
Okay, so like how it works within Ontario is the four teachers' unions, which would be the Ontario Secondary School Teachers, the Elementary Teachers of Ontario, the French Teachers Union, and the Catholic Teachers Union. The members contribute jointly to a plan that's jointly managed with the participation of the provincial government as well to manage this plan on behalf of all the retirees, the members, and contributors' future. So it's not a single union that's in charge of these investment portfolio and the retirement plan.
And who has control over what the money is invested in? Is there any history or precedent of the people whose money it is having any say? Are there any ethical standards, or has there been divestment from anything, or who decides where the money goes?
We slow down. There's a whole mess of questions there that we have to break down then. The plan is managed by an investment team, a management team that's hired by the plan overseers. As I said, the member affiliates, union affiliates, who comprise the Ontario Teachers Federation, they have a representation on the board, as well as the provincial government has representation on that board. But the plan is managed on a day-to-day and annual basis by the team which they hire. The investment team, the management team, etc. They look after the plan. They always declare that their primary responsibility is the fiduciary responsibility to the plan members to produce a profit in their investments in order to make the plan sustainable, to guarantee the it's a defined benefit pension plan.
So in order to profit or the maximum possible profit?
Well, in order you have an obligation, a fiduciary obligation of what you're going to be paying out to current and future retirees. So they have a fiduciary responsibility, they claim under the law, to make the best return for those beneficiaries of the plan as can be made. And that is their guiding principle. Union members can try to affect what that policy means through their elected representatives to the Ontario Teachers Federation Board and the ones who sit there, people who sit on the board appointing the managers and team investors. And has been successful. I will say that over the years, with pressure from rank and file members and rank and file retirees who are beneficiaries of the plan, there has been some significant movement in terms of establishing parameters for investment, such as bringing down any carbon footprint impacts of investment. In there's a term for the package of principles under which the investments are to operate. We find, however, that is being interpreted very, very, very narrowly and always subject to the overriding commitment to fiduciary responsibility. So yes, there is acknowledgement given to the fact that real fiduciary responsibilities mean so we're trying to improve the quality of life for our members and future generations. How do we protect them in the process? And the attempt to minimize, I'm saying minimize, attempt to minimize investments in environmentally damaging corporations has been given attention by the plan managers.
Yeah.
There still is a lot of criticism and how far the gap is between, I mean, went right off the screen there, didn't I? How far the gap is between stated objectives and actual performance activities. So that movement, though, to acknowledge that their responsibilities extend beyond simply maximizing profits has been acknowledged by plan managers. In fact, in the past, a number of years ago, through heavy lobbying and representation to the plan, they finally divested from all tobacco products as a principle. So the board has the power within its scope to determine what socially responsible investing actually means in the long run.
So that's wonderful that there are precedents, that they have done this before. It seems to me a difficult moment in that 3 years ago, you could go to such an institution and say, here is evidence that you could have made even more money by investing in things other than weapons. I don't think you could do that today. I mean, I don't think there is anything more profitable than weapons today.
You know, I myself am not an investment advisor, manager on top of it. But I still cannot believe that in our broad scope of human activity, that there aren't investments that can accomplish both things, make a significant return on investment, yet be socially responsible in ensuring that you're not trampling on workers' rights or feeding into the war machine to destroy people and people's lives. And what we see happening in some of these, you're right. These are incredibly successful companies generating an incredibly successful profit. In fact, the CEO of Raytheon, well, formerly called Raytheon, now referred to as RTX, one of the, I think it's the second largest weapons manufacturer operating in the United States. The CEO, after the events of October 7 in Israel, Palestine, made a statement along the lines that this is going to be great opportunities for expansion and profits. I'm paraphrasing him there. I don't have the quote in front of me, but there's an admission that it's seen somehow as a public virtue to be able to use publicly invested money, generate profits on death, on destruction, on violence against innocent civilians and innocent populations. I mean, what was the news report most recently? 34,000 people murdered in Gaza as a consequence of the actions of the Israeli armed forces in the, at this current time, the majority being women and children, non-combatants, clearly. This is not a war, as many people, the UN rapporteur reported. This is a massacre. This is a slaughter. This is beyond. It's unconscionable what's going on there. And yet we have corporations viewing it as opportunity.
I hate to be the bearer of horrible news on top of what is maybe the most horrible news that anyone thinks they've heard in a while, but we haven't seen any wars that weren't massacres. We haven't seen any wars in a century that didn't massacre huge numbers of men, women, and children, most of them more than this war yet, although I think those numbers from Hamas are low. It's a war. It's also a genocide. It's also a massacre. It's also a slaughter. It's important legally that it's a war. But how did this campaign come into being? And what are you asking divestment from exactly?
So there are large indexes of investment holdings that the fund will invest in. And these index holdings include a number of different corporations and operations, sometimes straight holdings. The index funds, when we looked at it in last September's CEC filing, there were two arms manufacturers that were included in the listing, in the index, L3 Harris and Northrop Grumman. They were two companies in which the fund was invested in. We began to pay attention at that point in time. In the most recent filing, we see that those corporate, after being drawn to attention, we see that those two particular arms manufacturers have been dropped from the index, investment portfolio. But, and it was good. Celebrate that. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
But now it appears that RTX, as I said, formerly Raytheon, and Textron, another U.S.-based military contractor that's producing a lot of the airplanes used for the surface-to-air missiles in Gaza. Now the fund, the pension plan, Ontario Teachers Pension Plan, seems to be invested in those two arms manufacturers. So what we were asking for, and attended, a group of us had gotten together, concerned people, not an organized group, it was just concerned current contributors to the plan and people who are retired like myself, benefiting from the plan, saying, I don't want my money made by investment in these corporations. Are you indeed still invested in these arms manufacturers?
Yeah.
We couldn't get an answer. We couldn't get a clear answer. I mean, the first question, that was when we went to the questions on the floor, and I asked the first question to the CEO of the pension plan, and it was a fairly gentle lob. You know, please explain. Do we have a liability? Because the arms manufacturers supplying these weapons could be subject to international legal sanctions as a consequence of their production of these goods and sale of it to the belligerent party under Canada's own Crimes Against Humanity and War Crimes Act. Could our pension plan be subject to legal penalties as participating? He just didn't answer. He didn't answer the question. Person after person got up and asked the same question or similar questions. Well, but please be clear. Are we invested in these two companies? And the CEO didn't answer. I mean, he could have brought down the tension and anxiety and anger building in the room very much simply by answering the question. And I have to look at him and say, are you being particularly dismissive of these concerns? Or do you not know? If you don't know, please check and get back to us. But at the same time, why can we not put a screen on all military investment, which is what the plan members are asking for? We don't want to have to play this game every 3 months to check the SEC index to see what arms manufacturers are on it this month and how much are we invested in those particular indices. Let's put a screen on the total investment, as we did in the case of tobacco years ago, that we would not invest in any tobacco generating tobacco manufacturers, producers.
In some cases, these weapons divestment campaigns have given the investing institution a list of the top 20 or top 100 weapons manufacturers, a list that's updated annually. Because they say, where does it stop? Because in the United States, where I live, almost every company you could throw a rock and hit is a subcontractor of a subcontractor of the military. Like, there's nobody that's out of the military. So we have to like define it as, here are the top 100 weapons companies. Don't invest in any of them. Has it gotten to the point of having to do that? Have they raised that objection? How do we know what's a military company and what isn't?
Well, yes, that point actually was raised. I will acknowledge that the chair of the board, who was running the meeting, did make that general statements. So we don't know everyone that's involved in any military activities. Could one of the companies providing tires, are those tires being used on military jeeps? That's not what we're asking. What we're asking for, as you pointed out, the major arms manufacturers who are responsible for producing the most heinous weapons for slaughtering individuals. And with that, I mean, the kind of scale that you've produced, if we would even acknowledge that there are certain key manufacturers with which we will not do business, in whom we will not invest. If we can identify those, that sends a signal to the corporate market that's saying, you know what? Conversion to socially responsible use might be a more sound fiduciary action at this point in time for our company if we're going to lose investments. Sorry, go ahead.
No, Dave Selassie, the teachers who are not retired, who are working on this campaign, are their jobs secure? Are their careers safe? Are they risking anything by doing this?
Well, this the strategy in this particular campaign is with the pension board and to putting pressure on the teachers' representatives from the constituent teachers' unions to push at the board for a more stringent screening. It's not a complaint against an employer per se. That being said, we do know of so many situations. I know in where you are right now, a lot of academics, a lot of teachers are taking a lot more direct pressure and a lot of at attacks, psychological, verbal attacks for speaking up on behalf of human rights of the people of Palestine. And we know that same kinds of pressures are people here are subject to those same kind of pressures. So whether it's a explicit risk to their well to their livelihood or implicit and a stress factor, it still is a reason for people to keep themselves protected at this point in time.
Yeah.
The wars, the violence is being brought to our communities by the global attitude of the oppressor.
How can people assist or help if they think this is a great cause? Is there a way for people to get involved and lend their support or express their support for this divestment campaign?
I think everybody, you know, works where they are planted. That's going back to an old adage from years ago. But I mean, especially people who are actively teaching, actively contributing to the plan, people who are participants in the plan by receiving, can maintain their letters in communication with the plan investors, the plan directors, saying, we, the owners of this plan, don't want investments in agents of death in the military complex. We wanted to impose a screening mechanism to filter out the worst offenders of production of weapons. People who are actively teaching, members of unions, can certainly put the pressure, attending their own general meetings, putting pressure on their representatives to the board, to the Ontario Teachers Federation, saying that we want you to press at the board level for effective screening methods. And as I've repeated a number of times, it's not the first time we've asked for this. It's not the first time it's been done. It seems to be, as you pointed out earlier, a lot more resistance to screening out military investments because of the lucrative nature of that industry. Yeah. And with the investment our nations are putting into arms productions, it's not an investment that seems to be at risk at any time in the near future.
Well, I hope we can make it at risk. And I hope that these divestment campaigns can be a part of making it less profitable. I know that students are pushing universities to divest from weapons and from fossil fuels and other things. Have you heard from other unions or other communities since you've been working on this that are interested in pursuing the same path?
Oh, I mean, a lot of the labor movement has been actively working towards disarmament issues and peace. Yes, specifically in Israel-Palestine, but also in a more global perspective. The Ontario Federation of Labor, which is the governing body for all the unions operating within the province, has made many statements and emphasized them again very recently, most recently, calling for a halt to arms production, calling for a halt to arms shipments to Israel, calling for a diversion into socially useful production as away from a military-based economy. And other unions have been very, very vocal. Specifically, the Canadian Union of Public Employees, for example, is another union that's been much at the forefront in leadership in these kind of campaigns. So yes, I mean, this is not our action with our pension plan, I think, is one part of what is becoming a rising consciousness, especially among working people, especially among organized labor. And as I've said to people who ask me, well, why did you go down and do that? You know, why were you there and making this ruckus? You know, and I say it became a ruckus because the plan administrators refused to take the concern seriously. So the questions got more and more heated, more and more loud, until a group of people went to the front and unfurled a banner demanding divestment now. You know, and there was a point I was about to make before that.
we We have about 3 minutes left, Dave Selassie, for you to make points, but we will have links up to all the information you've got on the website at talkworldradio.org and anything else you can send me or share with me. There was also a question I was going to ask. What's the next step? Is there another meeting? How long do you envision this campaign taking?
So the point I was going to make simply was we went down there, like why? Well, it may have advanced the cause this far, but that's this much farther than it was yesterday. You know, so with all of these actions going on, with different labor unions, with different labor organizations, with different individual workers, teachers around, it pushes more and more. We certainly don't intend to stop calling on our pension plan to divest completely from military production. That is going on. The individuals who gathered together and coalesced around this issue, we do plan to meet again and to see what the next step is. How do we move this further? So the next step is another half inch. So now it's a full inch ahead. And I know it's slow, but organizing is at the grassroots takes time and you move bit by bit. And as we saw with the moving the plan to adopt a socially responsible investment policy, it does come. When it's not just a scattered voice, but those scattered voices coalescing together. That's a movement that affects change. And that's what we're looking for. We will get the plan to divest. It will happen.
I'm very glad to hear it. We will shout it from the rooftops when it happens and hope it inspires other pension plans and other institutions to divest from the tools of mass murder. Dave Selassie is working on the divestment campaign for the pension plan in Ontario of teachers and retired teachers in Ontario. Dave Selassie, thank you very, very much for coming on Talk World Radio.
Well, thank you very much, David. It was very good to meet you and be on the new show. We'll hopefully see you again.
I hope so. This is Talk World Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. Read or listen to today's Peace Almanac entry at peacealmanac.org. All past shows can be heard at talkworldradio.org. Talk World Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way.